Welcome again. It is good to see some more faces this week and even some new faces. And I can't see your face at home, but I'm glad you can see mine, and it's good that you're here too. But so great to be back worshiping and watching more and more opening up in our area. It's nice to at least have a feeling of some normalcy, isn't it? We are kicking off a new message series today that I've just really been sensing God wants to do some great things in our lives through. As I shared last week, I began reading in the book of Proverbs a few weeks ago. And friends, I don't know what it was about this time reading through Proverbs, but I just felt like it really engaged me in a new way. As I was reading through, it just kind of gripped me. And I had one thought that came to my mind as I was reading. I'm like, this is just good sense. It's just good sense. And so I issued a challenge to us last week, to those in the room and those watching by live stream, and I issue again today, that we take the month of June and read through the book of Proverbs together. There's 31 Proverbs, so that's almost one for each day. I think there's 30 days in June, so you'll have one to add on there at the end. But doing a corresponding reading with each day of the month. So today's June 7th. So the idea is that sometime today you would read Proverbs 7. Tomorrow's the 8th, you would read Proverbs 8. If you haven't jumped onto that challenge yet and you want to join us, just jump in at Proverbs 7. Don't worry about the 6 that you haven't read yet. What you can do then is when July 1 rolls around, you can just do it again and pick up those Proverbs that you missed in the beginning. But I'm encouraging you to do that. Then what we're going to do, what I'm going to do, is I'm taking what I'm learning from the Proverbs of the week and bringing parts of that, what God's been speaking to me, into this message series that we're calling Good Sense. Now listen, all this started for me before the whole George Floyd thing, before I had any indication of the chaos that was going to ensue in our nation because of what happened with his unfortunate death. Not the chaos of coronavirus, that was going on, that was already going on, but before all of the looting and the burning of buildings and the violence and what's been happening across our nation. I spoke with a friend of mine on the phone this week who lives in the St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota area. It's really pretty cool. He's been watching some of our live streams from Minnesota. Isn't that cool? But he called to check in with me, and as we were talking, he told me just how bad things are there. He said that the rioters were burning stores and buildings. He said that he saw an interview of a lady who was just in tears. She said she was just learning to cope with COVID-19, finding the Target to go to for her food and a CVS to go to for her medications because she had to walk to places, but now those things have been burned down, and she doesn't know what she's going to do in her neighborhood to survive because of rioters who've burned things down. Now, let me be clear that I'm not making light of anything or placing judgment on any protest or anything like that, or even making a statement about protest. I made myself this week watch some of the video about George Floyd's death, and because I didn't really want to speak to it or speak to people's reactions to it without a better comprehension of what happened. And it's only a better comprehension because I wasn't there. I can't hear everything that happened. I can't see everything that happened, but I can tell you that maybe you've seen it. I'm not encouraging you to, but it was pretty horrible. And after watching peaceful demonstrations, protests, I can see that. I get it. What happened isn't acceptable, not simply because George Floyd is black or if he would have been white or anything else, but because he's a human being of sacred worth created by God, created by a good and loving God. But I don't get the violence, and I don't get the looting and the burning and the destruction, the shootings and the hurting of others and innocent people and innocent people's businesses. Friends, where in the world is the good sense in that? Where's the good sense in that? And for that matter, where is the good sense in the world altogether today? It's crumbling. The world's crumbling, it's falling apart as people move farther and farther from God's word and God's teaching. If we don't know the good sense of God, then we lose our ability to live well, to love well, to function well, and to be well. So our challenge as the church is to be in the thick of God's good sense. And I'll tell you, God's good sense is thick in the book of Proverbs. It's thick in the book of Proverbs. That's what we're diving into through this month, and I'm hoping that you'll take the dive with me. As we get started today, I want to begin first by talking a little bit about the author of Proverbs. Of course, the true author of all scripture is God, who inspires the writers to write. And in this case, in the book of Proverbs, we know that at least the majority of Proverbs was penned by King Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David, man after God's own heart. One of the places that you can read about the life and the choices of Solomon is in the book of 1 Kings, chapters 1 through 12. There's some other places in Scripture that speak about him as well, but that's kind of the main hub. And when you do, you'll find that one of the early choices in Solomon's life is why we have these Proverbs of good sense to glean from today. Let me start with King David's final words to his son Solomon as he's dying. In 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4, at the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Friends, in these words of wisdom and of good sense that Solomon's father speaks over him, they're words of good sense about him to become king. And as Solomon is the new king, the Lord comes to him one night in 1 Kings 3:5, and it says this, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. Well, wouldn't that be kind of a nice thing? The Lord comes to you, what do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you. And listen to how Solomon responds to this. 1 Kings 3:6 through 9, Solomon replied, you showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Isn't that a humble acknowledgement about Solomon's position here that Solomon's making? I don't know what I'm supposed to do to be king. I'm like a little child in the Oval Office. Where do I begin? How do I be king? How do I lead? Let's continue in verse 8. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? Friends, how many times have you asked God questions like that? Usually our things are, God, well, would you fix this? Or God, would you help this? Or God, will you heal that? But he says, God, give me the wisdom simply to know right from wrong. I need to know up from down. I need to know left from right. I need to know what's true and what's false. God, I need wisdom more than anything else just to do well for you. And listen to what goes down next with God in 1 Kings 3:10 through 14. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So he replied, because you have asked for wisdom and governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or of wealth or death of enemies, and that's what you could do, God, make me well, or God, kill off the people I don't like, because you didn't ask for those, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And then God says something that, to Solomon that's very similar to what Solomon's dad, David, had said to him. He says, and if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. I will give you a long life. When Solomon had the opportunity to ask God for anything he wanted, he asked God for good sense. God, give me good sense. And God's response to Solomon was, because you've been so humble, only asking for what you need to allow you to do the best in leading others, I'm going to give you what you ask for. But not only what you ask for, I'm going to bless you with so much wisdom and understanding in your heart that it's compared to nobody else, no one else. And I'm going to add to that riches and fame like nobody else. And friends, God does just what he promised for Solomon, that he promised he would do. The book of Proverbs, then, as part of the fruit of that good sense, that wisdom that God gives to him from heaven that we can glean from and learn from. And so we read, as we read the rest of Solomon's story, we learn how unmatched his riches and his fame were as well. And we can learn so much from these words in Proverbs. Now, there is an unfortunate aspect to Solomon's story as well, but we'll come back to that a little bit later. For now, let's move into some of the good sense that hopefully, if you've been reading, we've been learning together, reading through these first seven chapters of Proverbs. When I read through these chapters as I was going through them a few weeks ago, I took notes. And what I would do is I would write down verses or things about the verses that stood out to me and why they stood out to me. I encourage you to do the same thing. Get a journal or a notebook, and as you read through, write out the ones that stand out to you. And so that's what I did with the Proverbs. And then I took my notes and I put then what I was learning into categories to bring it together for a message for today. I'm not covering everything that's in Proverbs. If I did that, it would be a much longer series. I would have to go a lot longer to cover it all. So maybe you've identified some things that I won't talk about that stood out to you. And that's great. That's what we're looking for. What does God want to teach you? God may be prodding your heart in different ways than he's been prodding mine. I'm dropping the insights that stood out to me into three categories today, and then I'll speak under each of those categories. So the first category of what I drew from the first seven chapters, I'm calling that category the purpose of good sense. The first thing we learn in these early Proverbs is the purpose of why the Proverbs are there. In the very first proverb, Solomon addresses the purpose of the whole book. Follow with me in Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, that's me, I'm pretty simple sometimes. Knowledge and discernment to the young, I'm not so young anymore, but I'm simple. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So these verses state that the purpose, the first purpose in this book is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Now, some people hear the word discipline and what they want to do is run away. They don't want anything to do with it has to do with discipline. But all that we find important in this life, anything that we find of worth, we know requires a level of discipline. If you want to keep your teeth in your head, then you have to follow the discipline to brush your teeth, floss your teeth every day. If you want to do well in your job, then you need to have the discipline to better yourself at your abilities and to give your best effort. If you want to be healthy in life, then you got to do the things that are important, like eating well and having the discipline to exercise. Those things are important to us. Next, Solomon says the purpose of these proverbs is to live disciplined and successful lives and to help you do what is right, fair, and just. Do you want a successful life? Do you want a successful life? I do. Then you better pay attention to this good sense of God. He also says that these proverbs will give insight. knowledge and discernment. They're going to make you wiser. They're going to give you guidance for how you live your life. Then he tells us that fear of the Lord, that means proper respect of the Almighty and our humble position before him. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. That's when we get true knowledge. He even goes as far as to say that people are fools if they despise wisdom and discipline. So there it is, friends. God states the purpose of the book that you and I are reading right in the very beginning. Solomon asked God for wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom from heaven to live a life of discipline and success. Solomon lives into that life, and while living it, God has him write down much of the wisdom that he's attained into this book so that we can read and understand it today and receive guidance for our own lives. It's good sense. It's good sense for good, successful living. As we delve into the first few Proverbs in this book, we learn three important things that Solomon teaches about good sense. So about the purpose, these are three things he teaches. First, seek God's good sense like a treasure. Like a treasure. Listen to how this is stated in Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you search wood for silver. Seek them like a hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him." Do you see what Solomon's doing here? Friends, he's experienced attaining wisdom, attaining good sense from God in his life, and he sees that it's so good. It's so good that he's encouraging others to do all that he's attained, to do with it what he has learned. He tells us to cry out for it, to ask God for it, just like he asked God for it. He says that God grants a treasure of common sense to those who are honest. Solomon honestly sought God's good sense, and we need to get real honest with God and ask the same so that God becomes our shield to walk with integrity. Good sense from God is a treasure that we need to seek after. Second thing that he teaches about this purpose of good sense is it's good common sense stuff. This is good common sense stuff. The Bible, the book talks about common sense. And much of what you read in these Proverbs, you're going to think, well, that should be common sense. So why aren't people living like this? Listen to Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. "My child, don't lose sense of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on the way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You will not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being in a trap." These verses are telling us that the vast majority of disaster and destruction that happens in our lives happens because we lose sight of good common sense. Because we don't have common sense. Common sense may not save you from a sudden tornado or hurricane, but it can absolutely save you from bankruptcy, from AIDS, from large credit card debt, from family quarrels, from lung cancer that comes from cigarette use, from an accident from texting and driving, or driving drunk, or speeding, and so much more. So many things can be taken care of by living with good common sense. It says the wicked, those who live outside of God's good sense, face sudden disaster and destruction. And we see that every day in police reports and headlines, don't we? These verses are also telling us a bit more here. They're also offering us a security plan, and that security plan has a name. Did you catch what it was? It's the Lord. The Lord is our security plan. If you live in the good common sense of God's wisdom, it's going to keep you safer. But also, God will honor you with a shield of protection, his protection as well. This verse says that he will keep your foot from a trap. And my guess is that you're living God's common sense. If you're doing that, then you know what? You've skirted more traps for your foot than you have any idea. If you've been walking in the good sense of God and in his will, there are all kinds of traps you've gone right around and you've missed without even being aware of it, because God has guided your path and God has been your security plan. Which leads to the third thing in the purpose of God's good sense. It helps you develop good judgment. Good judgment. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from me. Friends, remember that verse, because that's plumb good stuff. That's good stuff. I'll say it again. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from me. That's good stuff. As you look around at people in our world today and all the struggles, you can clearly see that many people simply lack good judgment in our world. They've gone so far away from God and his good sense that their judgment is so skewed. I'd guess that 95% of people's crises in the world comes out of their own bad judgment, their own bad judgment of decision. When you walk through life without the good judgment of God's wisdom, and even more, when you walk through the world relying on the world's judgment, you're already set up for difficulty. Understanding God's heart, God's thoughts, God's ways, God's wisdom for your life, and living by it develops you to have a good judgment that you need to navigate yourself through this world. Now that we've talked about the purpose of good sense, I want to move into some more application. And one thing that we see over and over and over in these first seven Proverbs is a call to do this. It's to be on guard. He's calling us to be on guard. Applying good sense makes it clear to us that there are several places where we need to guard, be on guard in our lives. And the first is this, and it's the most important one of all of them: guard your heart. Guard your heart. We see in Proverbs 4:23 through 27, if we guard our hearts, God's going to lead us to straight paths. He's going to keep us in line. Follow along as I read. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Listen, the truth is whatever place you put your heart is where it's going to guide your direction. Where you place your heart will guide your direction. In the time of the Bible, the word heart meant kind of different things than it does to us today. They didn't differentiate the mind and the heart as thoughts and feelings the way that we do. They kind of melded the two together a bit more. So whatever gets the prime focus of your thoughts and your feelings, friends, that's what's going to steer you. And this is what throws people off so much in wrong directions. They become sidetracked, as this verse says, by following things that look good but that are actually evil, and that determines the course of their lives. Things that we watch sidetracked us. Things that we listen to sidetrack us. People we hang out with, things we consume, things we buy, all of those things sidetrack our hearts and our minds off of God's best for us. You have got to guard your heart above all else and keep it on course for God. Here's a second thing to guard for good sense: guard God's instructions, the actual instructions of God. We see it in Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. Some of you haven't read Proverbs 7 yet because today's the 7th, and you may read it later today, but this is from Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. It says, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. You know when people tie a string on their finger to remember something? Where'd that idea come from? The Bible. The Bible. Tie it on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. How important are your eyes to you? Very, right? Very. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to have to go through this life, as some people do, to navigate through this world blind? and complete darkness and not able to see. Most of us work pretty hard to keep our eyes guarded from being harmed because we value our vision. Our eyes are a treasure, right? Well, Solomon is saying that God's instructions are what keeps us from wandering through this world blind in total darkness. God's good sense, his instructions for our lives are a treasure that we want to guard with all we've got so they can navigate us through. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6 reinforces this point. It says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Those are God's instructions, the things he's taught. Never forget God's instructions. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will and all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's path. The path I take, I want to be God's. So I'm going to guard God's word. I'm going to guard God's instruction for my life. A third thing we're to guard is guard against sin and immorality. The whole chapter of Proverbs 5 talks about guarding against immorality with someone who isn't your spouse. It talks about the anguish that this immorality can will bring and gives warning against it. It talks about the ruin it brings and even disease that can consume your body. God's good sense in this proverb, it doesn't pull any punches, friends, on our immorality. Pulls no punches. And then the chapter ends in Proverbs 5, 21 through 23, where it says, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. Imagine the image of ropes wrapped around holding you caught, holding you bound. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Friends, I cannot tell you how many people I've known or known of over the years who end up lost because of their great foolishness when it comes to sin and immorality. I've seen marriages and families blown apart because of giving in to the temptation of adulterous sins where confidences cannot be earned back and ill repair becomes a chasm that's way too large. Listen to the wisdom of heaven. Use God's good sense to guard you away from this path and to stay straight on right paths. Here's a fourth thing to guard against. Guard against what God hates. Now, some people say, wait a minute. God doesn't hate. God doesn't hate. Oh, yeah, he does. He does. He doesn't hate people, but he sure hates sin. And there are some things in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 that it says he specifically hates. It says there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Not just hates, but detests. He says they are haughty eyes. If you're not sure what that means prideful eyes. He can't stand when we get all puffed up about ourselves. It goes on to say a lying tongue. Hands that kill the innocent. That's what many people, why many people are crying injustice right now over this death of George Floyd, because they're seeing innocent lives being taken. Listen, they need to cry just as loud for the 40 to 50 million babies who die by abortion in the world every year. Whether you agree with that or not, I'm just saying that's staggering. 40 to 50 million, and it doesn't matter if they're black or white or red or yellow or any color. Every year. He goes on to say that he detests a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Listen, friends, this list better make you set up and take some notes, because a lot of the things in this list we find ourselves involved in at times. I know I do. And it says that these are the things that God hates, that he actually detests. Good sense tells us that we've got to guard against them with every ounce of our being. I don't want to be found in the things that I know God hates, that God detests. Now, I got to point out this very next verse in this passage for all the young people listening today by live stream or in the room, because this comes right after what God hates and detests. That's telling us it's important. And if you have older parents that are living, this is for you too, to some degree. But listen to what it says in Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. Right after what God hates, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. We got to pay attention to what our parents teach us. Now, I believe that since this is written within the Bible, it reflects in a book that reflects God's wisdom, all of God's sense, that it's also referring to parents who are striving to live in God's good sense. Not perfect parents because they don't exist, but those who are striving to be in God's good sense. So if your parents do things that thumb their nose at God and thumb their nose at God's good sense, then I'm not sure these commands and instructions fit here. You still have to respect and honor them to the best of your ability because God tells you to do that in the Ten Commandments. But if they're commanding you or instructing you to do something that's dishonoring or harmful, I believe God's sense puts them in the category of what he calls the wicked, which he tells us leads to destruction and tells us not to follow. But putting that aside, assuming the parents are striving to live in God's good sense and wisdom, young people and those with living parents, these words come right after a list of things that God hates. So it must be pretty serious stuff for us to take note about. If we're going to live a life of good sense, we got to listen to our parents. So we've talked about the purpose of good sense. We've talked about applying that by guarding things in our lives with God's good sense. We're going to look at one other area quickly, and that is about the rejection of God's good sense. The path of rejecting God's good sense destroys. If you reject the wisdom of God, the good sense of God, it will destroy your life in one way or another. You don't have to look very far into the world to see and to know that this is very, very, very true. We're going to go back to Proverbs 1 here, where we got started today about God's good sense, to see the good sense, what good sense tells us about this. In Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33, Solomon does something unique in his writing here. He writes as if wisdom itself is speaking to us. These are like words coming from, it's kind of like a dramatic way of teaching us, a kind of a different way of showing us. It's not God per se, but words, if wisdom could speak, here's what wisdom is saying to us. The very thing that so many reject, the wisdom of God declares, if we ignore it, people's demise. Listen as I read these words. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. It's a plea. He's pleading for us to listen to the wisdom of God. And it goes on. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. You're not going to find wisdom when you're in that despair if you've rejected wisdom your whole life. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. The good sense, the wisdom of God is crying out to you and to me. If we step into God's good sense, if we live as God tells us to live, it's followed by living in peace, being untroubled by fear or harm. However, if we reject the path of wise living, it's going to lead us to overwhelming anguish and distress. If we trust God's good wisdom, we don't have to be overwhelmed by either of those things. But the more we step away from that wisdom, wisdom's path, the harder it's going to be to see the light again. And that's why you see people in this world who just seem so lost that it doesn't appear they can ever come to return. Have you seen those people? They seem so far gone from God and God's way. It's like there's no way they could possibly come back. Now listen, there's always a return, by the way. It's through Jesus. Jesus is the return. He's the way maker that leads people back into the good sense of God if they'll turn to him. But sometimes it seems like there's no way they can get back in wisdom. They cry out, but wisdom's been so much away from them, they have no clue what it looks like. Before we conclude today, I want to take us back to the story of Solomon. Solomon was blessed to be perhaps the most fortunate person of all time, as far as fortune goes. But what's so sad is that he had an unfortunate end. Sometime after having favor poured upon him by God, and after having God's wisdom lavished on him, and after sharing much of the wisdom from God in writing for us to learn from today, Solomon himself made the choice to turn his back on the wisdom of God. God had clearly instructed his people not to marry outside of their faith, the faith of Israel. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 11:2. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. That's a little g god. That means phony gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. Listen, friends, wisdom itself can't ever become your God, not even the wisdom of God. God has to be your God. God has to be your God. Sometimes we become so distracted from even good that God gives us that we lose sight of God and we put our focus on what God gives us. Things that God intended for good sometimes become our God. I believe that's kind of what happened to Solomon in all of this wisdom. He allowed the most deadly temptation to leak in, the temptation of self over God. Self over God. That's the temptation that took Satan himself out. The angel Lucifer, Satan decided he should be God. He wanted to be above God, and he got taken out. Solomon didn't want to be God necessarily, but he allowed his wisdom and his fame to take God's place, and he chose to go on his own selfish way over God's way. And 1 Kings 11:4 tells us, in Solomon's old age, they, that's these women who worship phony gods, not the true God, they turned his heart to worship other little g gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord, his God, his father David, as his father David had been. And then we drop down to 1 Kings 1:6. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely, as his father David had done. Do you remember what we shared earlier as we were getting started today? This is what Solomon's dad, King David, warned Solomon about on his deathbed by telling him, take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God. Follow his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, the laws of Moses, then you'll be successful in whatever you do and wherever you go. And remember what God himself says to Solomon in a dream? And if you follow me and obey me as your father David did, I'm going to give you a long life. Both David and God knew that the temptation would be great. And even with their warning, Solomon allowed his sights to sway in the end. I share this to remind us all that none of us are impenetrable. Great men and women have fallen. Way greater men and women than you or I have fallen. And have got we have got to be on guard. We have got to be on guard. We need to take the good sense of God very seriously and make it our walk of our lives while making Jesus the Lord of our lives. Many people have made the good that God has given them their God in one form or another, and that just takes you off track. We don't worship wisdom. We worship Jesus, and we walk in his wisdom. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your wisdom. It's your wisdom that we study, not Solomon's, because you gave him his wisdom. He asked for it, and it came from you. This is the wisdom of God. This is the good sense of God. God, help us to order our lives around it. Not just Proverbs, but all of your word, but particularly in this month as we look at it, the words you give to us through Solomon and Proverbs. Help us to live and walk in your good sense as we worship Jesus our Lord only. Make our paths straight to follow you, to become and be yours. And we thank you for pouring your word out for us and for pouring out the blood of your son Jesus for us, who forgives us, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, there's some news that came out about 2 weeks ago, and it's not the news that most of us hear. It's not the news that gets talked about very much. You hear about all the other things going on. But a couple weeks ago, a lead singer for a Christian band that's pretty well known put out on social media that he no longer believes in God. That he's done. He doesn't believe in God any longer. A few months or in the last year, there was a worship leader who did the same thing. Came out on social media and says, I just don't believe in this Jesus, this God anymore. Friends, what happens? You have some people who their platform of life, their ministry of life has been about God, and now at some point they're saying, I'm not even sure I believe in this God anymore. Somewhere the focus has gotten swayed. The focus has gotten shifted off of God's very good sense for our lives, and they found themselves in a place of not even being sure they believe this is real anymore. It doesn't take long to shift. It doesn't take long to move, and it happens in very small increments. It keeps shifting, 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 shifting until all of a sudden you're somewhere else and you can't even see this direction any longer. It's so important that we be on guard. It's so important that we be on guard. Of all that we know and all that we believe in the instruction and the life we have in God, it is the greatest thing when you're walking with him. But as soon as you start to veer, you lose it. He can come back, and our prayer is that he does, both of them, that they come back and have a mighty message for God someday. I'm believing that they will, but you don't want to go there. Continue in the Proverbs, Proverbs 7 today, and continue through the week, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Love you all.